as he grew, he'd say, I'm gonna be like you, Dad. You know I'm gonna be like you. And the cat's in the cradle and the silver spoon.
What's going on, guys? It's the Boss Man here, and this is the JJ Boys Real Estate Series. This is our, what, third one?
I think this is episode number three already. Episode going by quick.
Yeah, man, we are rocking these out. Our last episode, we kind of hit, you know, we wanted to prepare you guys for the mindset. Now we're going to get into, how to do the deals.
How to find the deals.
Yeah, now, the nuts and bolts.
Now, I originally said when we did the overall test run summary, this is everything, really. When I talk to people, like when we went to that seminar and we were talking to people, their hardest issue with getting into real estate was finding deals. This is the hardest part for most people, and this is basically everything. Because once you find the deals, money will come. You will figure out how to get the money if you can find the deals.
Once you find the deals, and a lot of people know they have deals, but I'm glad we went over the mindset last one.
Yeah, we went over
because hopefully now when you find the deal, you're going to actually act on it.
Yeah, and we'll probably dip back into the mindset here and there just to bring up the key points from that again, because a lot of it applies with the finding of the deals. Because if you're not motivated, you're not confident once you find the deals, guess what? You'll never know that you have a deal.
You're never going to know. You're never going to act. You're never going to get that check to put in HIP National Bank.
Yeah, and the best part with deals is you need to put in effort to finding them. If you don't put in effort, you're not very confident and stuff, and you just find the easy ones. The easy ones equals low dollar amounts. Listen, this would be one to put in your notes. Easy to find deals equals low dollar to negative dollar.
Very low dollars. You're probably going to get yourself into some trouble.
Yeah, you're going to get
like, uh-oh, I'm negative. I might lose some money.
Yeah, you're going to get, you'll probably end up getting yourself into a little pickle. Especially because what if one thing goes wrong with that? You're negative, just like that. Yeah. But those harder to find deals equals big positive dollar. That's one for your notes right there. Easy deals, negative dollar. Hard deals, big positive dollar.
Yeah. I mean, there are, we might as well jump into some of the techniques. You know, some of them are pretty simple, you know, with just the regular marketing. You know, like for instance, if you guys want to get into this, you know, everybody needs some cards, you know, so, you know, a card, you know, kind of gives you that credibility.
Oh, your business cards?
Yeah. You want some business cards.
You got a business card?
But listen, the business card, everything we do is marketing, you know.
Listen, this is probably
early to bed, early to rise. Get your butt
right
up
here
and advertise.
I don't know how well you can see it. I don't know if we can get Matt to do something real special, put it up. But
so this is my business card. So would this get your attention?
Listen, you just slide one over. Oh man, it's $100 bill. Wow. So, but then you open it up and
I mean,
Boss Man we trust. Listen,
Boss Man we trust. And guess what? Boss Man does real estate.
Yep.
He buys houses. So if you have a house to sell, you better call up this guy. Look at this. He's got $100 bill here. But it's, my business card.
And you can never have enough business cards either. You need to have so many. You need to have, your problem needs to be that you don't have enough business cards.
Yeah. Every day I try to put at least 20 of them in my pocket. And by the time I get back in, they should be gone.
Yes. And it's stuff like this. This kind of goes back to the mindset thing. I said we dip into it a couple times. Confidence. If you aren't confident, you're kind of scared. You're socially awkward. You're not going to be willing to do that. But, hey, it's the boss man here. Everyone wants to talk to me, you know. I don't know how all these people know me and have my number. Maybe it's because I give my $100 business card to everybody. It's that needs to be what you need to do. Anywhere you go.
Yeah, your business card needs to be there. Like, every time I go to breakfast, guess what? Guess what's along with my tip? Is my business card. When I'm sitting down, you know, I actually still write out checks and mail bills, you know. I guess I'm like in the rarity now, but guess what? I put a business card in every one of my things I mail out. Who knows? Somebody that's opening it up might have a house.
And if you have a good business card, like we buy houses and stuff like that. Well, so what are like the big like catch terms for the real estate investors. What do they say?
Well, pretty much, I mean, I'm sure all you guys have seen it out there. You know, we buy houses, we buy ugly houses, we buy pretty houses, we buy crack houses, we buy.
And it's always, you know, they always like to throw the word cash. Cash is always.
Cash. We buy houses cash.
Yeah. And so you have a guard that says like one of those flash terms like that, and you have your number down, you're throwing it anywhere. You might be like, well, why would I put my business card down if I'm at a restaurant?
See, and it,
and it's just like, you'd be shocked because you'll have all these people calling you and they'll be like, oh, we got a potential lead for you to go. And then just like that, you have a potential deal. And I'm not saying all those are deals, because a lot of them aren't deals, because then you're relying on other people to know what a deal is. No, you have to be able to know what a deal is. And so, but you'll get so many more phone calls than what you'll ever really think of.
And that's the easiest way, you know. You know, I hope, hopefully everyone doesn't copy my $100 bill bill one. But I, before those, I had the brightest colored card. It was a orange card, and you could put it up on any of those boards anywhere, and that card would stand out more than anything.
If you have a card that stands out, catches the eye, is unique, you need to have a card that gets people to want to read it.
To make
it, they want to look at it.
Yeah, they want to look at it, and then they want to, you know, if they do have a house for sale or some, they know somebody.
Because let's say they have 10 real estate investors cards. If yours is the coolest card, guess what? They might have, I guarantee it, they'll end up calling you first.
Yeah.
And that's a huge part of it. But the business card, really, if you think about it, it's one of the most low-effort things you can do. Yeah, all the cost is, so this is also another huge cost to real estate, is your marketing. This is all, everything for the most part we'll talk about will be under your marketing costs for the people write out their budgets and do their math like that. This is all going to be under really marketing. And this is real easy because really it's just, it's low effort on your part. Anywhere you go, you just throw out a business card. You just want
to give it to everybody.
Yeah, you just got to pay for it. You know,
one thing about my cards, you know, they are catchy. And I got some buddies out there. You know who you are, a couple biker buddies. They love to come up to, hey, boss man, you got a couple cards? Yeah, you got to watch out giving those cards to everybody. You may, you know, go to, the one guy likes to go to a club and kind of pass them out a little bit. And I found that out the hard way because my number's on the card. And
maybe that story's, again, a little off topic. Yeah, a little off topic. But that's like kind of, that's an easier way. And now I want to get into the more, maybe more labor. I don't want to say labor intensive, but you got to put in some effort maybe. Or maybe, no, we could stick with the more passive ones. What about signs?
It's signs, you know, everybody needs a sign.
Yeah.
You know, we buy houses. You'll see them everywhere.
So wait, so when we say signs, what kind of signs are we talking about?
You know, there's all kinds of different signs. I've tried them all. I've had the kind you put in the ground. I bought benches. One of the best things I've used is magnetic signs.
What do you mean? Like on a
car. You can put them on your car. You know, I had the Volkswagen Bug, and it was canary yellow, and it was wrapped up. I mean, I buy houses, and I would let a lot of people drive this car around everywhere, and you wouldn't believe how many leads we got off of that car.
And that's just, it's just another marketing cost, really. And it's for the taxes people, wouldn't technically that car then be able to be
write-off? That car is 100% write-off. You know, a lot of my sales guys would take that car everywhere. You know, if my construction guys needed to go anywhere, that car was like, if you needed to drive it, if you needed a car, you know, jump in it and go.
Yeah, and it's great. That's just another strategy, is these signs everywhere. You see the, like the Century 21. What are some of the other companies out there?
Berkshire Hathaway. I mean, there's a
lot of them. They put the for sale signs out in front of a house. We'll put a sign out in the middle of the, like right on one of the main streets. Be like, we buy houses. Call this number. Yeah, it's the same concept as that. Just a little different.
Trying to generate action to call. And that's a potential lead.
And people might be like, they might not mind the houses, but then with the car stuff, this is another mindset drawback here. Is people, if you're not confident, or maybe you're not fully, you're like, oh, I'm not very good at what I do, so I don't want to market what I do to everyone because I, you know, that it's just socially awkward. You don't like that confrontation. you won't be able to do it. Yeah. If you're willing to put marketing stuff on your car and drive it around, guess what? You don't. You are at the perfect mindset.
What I've noticed nowadays, everybody has these cell phones. You know, a lot of times they're like, hey, I'm right beside you. I'm like, yeah, hey, well, look at that. You have a house for sale? Yeah, I do. You know, you rolled out the window, talk to them personally. And then once you get face-to-face, that's what you want. You want to just be able to get face-to-face with somebody that has a potential deal.
And well, I think we'll talk a little later in this episode about being able to talk to people face to face, because that's another huge part, being able to communicate with people, getting people to be able to like you. But I want to go over a couple more of the marketing strategies to find these harder deals, because you don't want to find the easy deals. We already said that. You want to find the hard deals.
You want to find the hard
deals. So this is how you have to find the hard deals. So what are maybe some of the more difficult ways of doing it?
Well, I
thought I can think of one. Go around. What about knock on people's doors?
Yeah. Well, yeah.
Go door knocking.
That is okay. This kind of brings us into two things. Okay, like everybody, you know, you could get that foreclosure list, and you're going to send them the postcard, send them, you know, whatever you're going to send them. And guess what? We get that same list, and we actually go knock on their door, and they invite us in. And I'm sitting there at their table, and I'm looking down at their table, and all of these people's letters or cards that you sent them is sitting on their table, and they just haven't called nobody, but I'm sitting there writing up the deal. So it is very, very important to actually, you know, be able to sit down with the people. If you could do that, you know, that's you're ahead of the game.
And now we're not saying like postcards, letters and stuff like that aren't good. It is really good to do some of that. Like you talked about before, I remember you telling me about you send this one old guy like a Christmas card or something, or like some kind of special themed card every year, just in case he ever changes his mind about selling you his house or whatever. Cause you know, it'll be a good deal if you get it. But, you know, he's not motivated yet. He's not a motivated seller. So we don't really want to deal with him. And that's another big thing. You got to find the motivated sellers, the divorced people, no equity. You got to find the people.
Yes, the motivated
want
sellers.
To get out now.
And you got to, so you don't waste your time a lot. And you got to, you know, this will be probably in another episode, screening these prospects that come in. So right now we're focusing on getting that phone ringing. Let's start a list of potential houses that we can buy.
Potential deals.
Yeah. You know, that's it. We just want a list. Hey, guess what? If you got a list of 20 off of, say, in your first 3 days of marketing and you don't find a deal, what do you think? What do you think your next step would be?
No, what would be your next step?
Probably to go get another list of 20 properties, because you're going to find a deal. It's a numbers game.
It's a numbers game. And it's, once again, I'm going to say it, dipping back into the mindset. Let's say you don't find the first one, a deal on the first 20 or the next 20 or the next 20. You keep at it, you're going to find one. And then once you see that check at the end, it's all going to be worth it. You cannot get discouraged from not being able to find deals, because it's a very hard part. And that's why we're trying to give you – you can't door knock on every house, but you could send definitely a postcard to every house. Door knock on as many as possible. You could put signs all over your car, wrap it. You could put signs right out on the outskirts of Canton Road. Everyone's going to see it then. It's – just the willingness to do a lot of these things that we're giving you guys plenty of examples. We hope you're taking these in and you're going to be able to maybe apply them for some of the stuff that you want to do going forward. So we're giving you kind of the examples. Yes.
And you just got to get the phone ringing. Yeah. I mean, I started off, you know, when I started off, you know, I was like, man, all right, you know, I probably had $100 marketing budget, you know, and then I went to $500. At one time, I was spending $20,000 a month on marketing.
Yeah,
and I was doing radio. I had, you ever see those digital trucks that drive around? I had digital trucks. I had benches. I had, you know, the Volkswagen Bug. I was every way possible. Everyone knew that, Jeremy was buying houses.
Let's try and take this step by step. So let's say now you got the phone ringing a lot. And you got a lot of people that think that they are like, I want to sell you this stuff. Now you got to be able to find and identify which ones are deals and which ones are not deals. But it all kind of starts with the conversation. You have to be able to talk to people. You have to be able to communicate. And you, that I think, honestly, from what I've seen with you, is that's probably your best trait. I don't know how you do or are able to do it. Everyone likes talking to you. Everyone likes communicating with you. You're friendly, but you're friendly in a different way. Everyone is just like, you're easy to talk to in that way. And that is a very good trait to have, but there are skills about it. So like, I kind of want to go over some of those. Like, let's say you're meeting up with someone that said, I want to move. Let me sell you my house.
Yeah. Like, I would just, you always just want to try to have a conversation with them. And like in our very first episode, remember when I talked about win-win deals. So usually it's, if you know that they are not motivated, they have a nice house, they just want to move into the bigger house and sell this house. You don't want to waste your time, but if somebody comes up to you, from a lead and says, oh yeah, my wife just left me. I'm sitting here now. She took her, whatever. And my income's in half. I'm four payments behind. Ding, 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 ding. Yeah. Okay. Now we're talking. Okay. Now we got a motivated buyer.
So
a motivated seller, and we're a motivated buyer. So,
yeah. But thing is, you need to be able to identify it and you need to be able to talk to the people.
You just got
to
start having
to learn it. Yeah. You got to be able to have conversations with these guys. And that's one of the most important parts. You have to make them feel, you don't want to make them feel more pressured than what they already are.
Yeah.
Because then they're not going to sell you their house. And something else is you want to have them. Listen, why does God give you two ears and one mouth?
Yeah. He does that.
Listen more than you speak. Yeah. You want the person on the other end to be just keep talking. Just
keep talking.
You let's say you don't agree with them, or let's say you don't care about a story. I mean, just agree with them. Just agree with them. Keep talking. Be like, oh man, that sucks. What else? Just keep him talking. If he just keeps talking, he'll build more trust in you.
Correct.
And he won't feel pressured. And then you'll really be able to identify how motivated he is and how good of a deal it actually is. And that's really important right there.
Yeah, I mean, in another way, like if they come out and say, I tried to list it with the realtor, but there's no realtors that really want to list it. And right there, ding, 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 huh? Listen, realtors love to list anything,
Yeah,
especially so they like to list it high. Yeah. And this guy, he ends up telling me, hey, I really should probably file bankruptcy. I got all kinds of liens on this place. It's worth $200,000, and with all the liens and stuff on it, it's now worth, I owe $230,000 on it. And then that's right there. I mean, most people, it would go off in their head, man, there's no deal here. But I love those kind of deals. I think it's because then I go into that mode to where I'm getting creative and I could get stuff discounted. We haven't talked about that, but
I think we'll get into that here in a second.
Those are also deals.
Yeah. So I think the one thing I want to kind of talk about before we maybe go towards something like that is there's certain phrases that, let's say you're trying to buy this guy's house or whatever. He wants to sell it to you. You got him through a lead. There's certain phrases he's saying. When you get him talking, he's talking. There's certain phrases he's going to say that's key. Like, we could have a deal. No equity. We kind of like what that's sounding like there. And you were kind of getting into how, especially if there's negative equity with a lot of liens, you were kind of going to get into how you're able to make a deal out of that. And then, but then there's other phrases as in, like, there's a divorce, income's halved. I'm behind on four payments. Oh, wait, what did you say? Ding, ding, ding.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah, when did you buy your house? Oh, did you buy it when interest rates were 2%?
Oh, you have a 2%.
2% interest rate. Listen, anyone brings me a 2% interest rate, and say they're 2 years behind on payments, 1 year behind on payments.
It's
a no-brainer.
So there's certain
phrases.
We're going
to catch them up on payments.
There's certain phrases like that that, of course, through experience, the more you guys will end up learning. But there's phrases like that that you have to know, because once you get in that conversation, you hear those. Ding, 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 you found your deal right there. That's the hardest part of it right there. And we just kind of explained it to you guys in a real simple way.
We're kind of getting off track a little bit on just how you find them, because we started getting into how you kind of go through the deal.
Yeah, well, we talked about like the marketing aspect, and I just kind of wanted to get more into the
there's still
once you get the leads coming in,
but there's still a bunch of more ways, you know. Vacant houses in good areas are huge. I have one of my really good buddies, Mr. John Brigill. I don't know if you're watching, but he's a mailman, and he's out in the Silver Lake area. I love this guy. I've known him since college at Lone Star Fraternity days, and he's a walk-in mailman. So he's walking these really, really good areas, and I'm like, hey, John, man, let me know when you see a vacant house or whatever. And he does. He shoots me over these leads, you know, left and right. I mean, nice vacant houses in good areas, they're always really good potential leads. So you always want to keep your eye out for vacant houses.
I think you talked about too, I don't know if we talked about it on the podcast or we talked about it separately, just on our own. Talked about the garbage men.
Oh, yeah. The garbage people. Yes. I love my garbage guys, man, because they're going around, you know, and it seems like all of them that I deal with, they're pretty motivated for money too. And, you know, they're going around all these houses, and I let them know, hey, you bring me back, you got to be pretty specific on what you're looking for, or else you'll get 20, 50 a day. But I usually give them about $20 to $50 per lead, but it's got to be a good lead. You know, a vacant house, they got to give me the address. There's all kinds of stuff on there. And, you know, they just bring the lead back to me. It doesn't mean that I'll buy it, but it means that it's a good lead.
It's a potential deal. Yes. And then once you have those leads, then guess what? We get into what we just talked about. Yeah. Is you figure out who owns it. You have that conversation. See, get them talking. And then you figure out if you hear those phrases, ding, 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 we got a deal. And you got it through a lead, through a trash guy or a post guy. Or you got it because they called up the sign on your bug.
Yeah. So now we're going back to, you know, if it's a hard lead, it's probably more money. So I would consider something like that, if that's a harder property to find because there's so much work. So you get a vacant house from one of your, you know, all that, you know, people call them all different names, bird dogs out there looking for deals, you know, so they bring you back that deal. And then you got to, you know, it's a harder deal. You got to find the owner. You got to, find their phone number. Yeah. You know, it's a little easier now with Facebook and stuff. A lot of times you could find the people, but
Are some good techniques if, let's say, you don't really know who the owner is? How would you go about finding that?
Well, a lot of times I will go and ask neighbors. You know, a lot of times the neighbors, they love to tell you everything. Like the other day when you were at school, remember that one deal I told you I had to go look at? And I said, no. I said, no.
The neighbors were telling you.
I said, the place needs bulldozed. The people have been squatting in there for like 4 years. The lady that owned the house moved out of state. And these people this place was a mess. It probably needed $20,000 just on the outside cleanup. So, you know, passed on that one. But
so then a little bit of that is kind of, what if you get into...
But the neighbor loved to tell me all about it. Oh, yeah. I would probably still be there now if I would have let him, man. He was telling me all the times the cops been over there. Yeah, so the neighbors, you can learn a lot from neighbors.
And I think another huge aspect is we talk about, you need to find the hard deals. We kind of talked about the ways you get leads, how you communicate with the owners who want to sell. But you might look at a house that, this needs bulldoze or it's got all this work outside. But then we walk into a different house and it's real like jungle backyard or something like that. Terrible smell. And you're just like, this is a deal. What are the best ways of differentiating the bad deals from those good deals like that?
Most, all right. I love to tell this story, but when, when you go into a house and, you know, say they call you up and I walk in and it's all you smell is cat pee. Cat urine. What would you think?
I'm trying to get out of this house as quick as possible.
I mean, yeah, some of them are really bad. I was in, like, actually, we just got this one under contract.
Yeah, over
and
in,
she told me
Ellet.
She had, yeah, she told me she had 16 cats in there.
Guess and, what?
Listen, I believe it.
Listen,
I
mean, those cats, they didn't have a litter box. Their litter box was their house right there.
I mean, I'm trying to get him to go around looking, yeah, and like, he's, like, trying to hold his breath. I'm like, son, just inhale it deep, because that, when you smell that, that is money. See, you're smelling, I smell money. I love cat pee.
Yeah, with the, and then another funny story with that house is, like, we're trying to figure out how to get in there because the lockbox combo they gave us wasn't working. So we had to, like, climb in through the window that was open. Right. I get in there. I'm like, whoa. Oh, my God. It was like, I couldn't believe
Listen,
it.
Listen, that was a bad
one. That was bad.
I knew as soon as that one was really bad. I mean, that one, you almost probably need a mask in that one. But a lot of times these homeowners, you know, they're like, man, my house has been listed. I don't, you know, and they didn't really go through the big rehab or nothing. They're still living there. But as soon as you walk in, yep, you smell it. And that is the reason they're not getting offers and all these other houses are selling. So in those situations, you know, they always end up calling you back. Every time you smell cat pee, you know, get ready because it's a potential deal.
Yeah, so it's just, I mean, I know I kind of asked for techniques and we kind of got away with it. Because really, I don't really think, the more I think about it, there is a technique of differentiating the bad deals from the good deals. Even though they might look real rough, a lot of yard work, bad smell, they might look similar. But one's usually going to be bad, one's usually going to be good. And it's just very situational. And there's a lot of things you just need to look out
for. The only
bad
deal out there is unmotivated sellers. I mean, that's it. I mean, if they don't have a problem us to fix.
Well, you just talked about the bulldozing house. That's a bad deal. Well, you're dealing with squatters in there that's been in there for forever and an owner that lives out of state.
That could be a good deal. Remember the one we did in North Hill?
It could be a good deal, but, like, it's just that it crosses a line of maybe it's a little too difficult, a little too much time you'll have to put into it for a deal that might not be incredibly worth it in the end compared to, I'll say, the house in Barberton. That smell was really bad.
Oh.
And then the backyard looked like we were entering Jurassic Park.
Yes, the yard, even the front yard.
Oh, yeah.
I mean, just by pulling all those huge bushes out of there.
Yeah, but then, you do some yard work, we get, what's the?
But that deal there, okay, we're on leads, but that one there, a gentleman ended up passing away in the house, and they did a safety check on him, and that's how we ended up getting it. So he was, and it was in the summertime.
Yeah. So, and it's just but the smell was bad. You know, it looked real bad on the outside. People aren't going to want to deal with that, and that's, you need to be able to look at that, and be like, it's going to be hard, but
yeah,
it's a good check at the end.
Yeah, you can usually get those ones pretty cheap.
Yeah. What else do you wanna?
I mean, we hit on the direct mail stuff. I'm not a big direct mail guy. You know, I love it every time I do go into somebody's house and I see everyone else's direct mail sitting on their countertop. I love that. I'm like, all right, I'm the one sitting here.
See,
because I went and knocked the door. And here's another thing. Okay, a lot of these, we didn't even hit the foreclosures or the sheriff sales. You know, some of these sheriff sale ones, you know, they just, something happened in their life, you know, where they just fell behind on payments and they just felt like they're trapped. You know, a lot of people are scared to go knock those doors. You know, the sheriff sale, when you go to the sheriff sale, or now it's all online, they tell you cannot get in the house. I'm going to the house. If somebody is living there, I'm knocking on the door and I'm going to talk to the people. You know how many times I sold the house back to the people that are still living there and I don't have to do nothing? They felt like they were buried. They had no way out, so they quit paying. And it's usually those scenarios are, you know, kind of, you know, a divorce deal or something, you know, they got downsized in their job.
Yeah, it gets back to the simple qualities of the motivated seller that we kind of already talked about. But like, we could talk about like the sheriff sale. What, for people that don't know what that is, what is
The sheriff sale, they have it usually every Friday in Summit County. The Stark County was usually on Mondays, but you go down to the sheriff, you go down to the courthouse, and they had a sale, people that was behind on their payments and they're getting foreclosed on. So that is a foreclosure. There's pre-foreclosures and there's foreclosures, but down there. So now they do it all online. I was on there the other day and I got all registered, and they give you the list, you know, they let you know that you can't get in any of these houses. You're bidding on them sight unseen. And, you know, so those could be really, really good houses. I've bought many, many, many houses at a sheriff's sale.
Yeah.
And a lot of times if the people are there, you know, they had something that happened and they want to stay there. A lot of times they want to stay there, or, you know, they want to get the heck out of there. So, you know, I'll give them a few grand or whatever to help them move, and they leave the place, you know, pretty decent. We have a good, that's a win-win situation.
Yeah, but it's another way to find leads. And let's say you take that lead, and then you go door knock, then you have that conversation. Or you hear those key catchphrases, the ding, ding, ding. It's not too bad of a deal. It's going to be worth the time to get a good check. And ding, 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 you got a check. You figured it out.
Well, I bought some other ones from builders. If you guys know any builders out there, that could be good leads.
Builders?
Yeah, builders. You know, sometimes, you know, something will happen. Well, they'll get stuck with some houses, or, you know, I bought many of them from builders and I completed the job. Let's see. I made a list here. Like I said, the door hangers, you should always have door hangers on you, because if you go and you're out there looking at those pre-foreclosures or foreclosures, and you go knock the door and nobody does answer, just put a door hanger on there. You know, door hangers are good. The radio, I think radio is just, I've done it many, many times in the past.
I don't think radio is
I'm getting away from it totally.
Well, think about the most people in their car, and they got like a real, smart car. That's definitely not what you'd call it. But you have a car where you just plug your phone in or you Bluetooth it, then you just listen to Spotify or something, Apple Music, off your car. A lot of people aren't even listening to the radio now. The radio, I think, is something for marketing I'd get away from.
I mean, we do. We listen every morning going to school. We actually do. We still listen to.
Yeah, we listen to.
If he's out there, we listen to Stansberry.
The Stansberry Show, Rock 106.
Yeah, he's kind of raised on Stansberry. So.
Yeah, I've been listening to that for probably longer than what I've been.
So shout out to Dan Stansberry and Matt Fantone. Yeah.
That when Fantone was on it. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, we went over a bunch of, you know, different techniques and different ways where you could just generate a call. That's all you want to do with marketing. You know, just as simple as this card here, it's all it's supposed to do is just generate a call, just stimulate a call. That's it. Just see if there's a deal.
So let's see. Let me think. What's everything we went over? We went over the how to get the leads, how to talk to the people, and then basically how to close on the deals. But the deals, we keep using that term kind of broadly. On these upcoming episodes of the podcast, we'll really start to get in depth about the different deals you can do.
Yeah.
And then that will also, like, we related back to mindset a lot. And now on the next episodes, when we talk about the deals, we'll relate back to this episode, because when you're talking those catchphrases, you'll be like, low mortgage rate, this could be a land contract, or low mortgage rate, no equity. Land contract potential. Yeah. You're talking about assignments and liens. Oh, you got all these liens on your property, negative equity. Well, we could do this. We'll get more in depth on the specific things you could do with the deals, and we'll reference back to this one, because it's all about that conversation. It's all about getting them to talk more than what you're talking.
So we're definitely going in the right, you know, steps. We hit the general overall, we hit mindset. Now we're hitting trying to get the phone to ring, and then it's just going to get more nuts and bolty, you know, after this podcast, the ones in the future. I can't wait to get in. I love when we're talking about those liens. I love the liens.
I love just talking about real estate in general. This is fun for us to do compared to some of the other stuff we got to do.
I would love to get you know, maybe some people out there, they've done some real estate deals. I know I've talked to a couple people this week, you know, that watch the podcast and they've done a lot. They've watched a lot. They've went to a couple seminars. They still never really took that plunge like we were talking about in doing the deal.
I honestly almost want to put on a little game for the people that are serious about this. The people that are serious about this, watching the podcast to learn, and they actually want to either get into real estate for their retirement or because they don't want a job or they're real young and they want to get into it early. Listen, I want to see the coolest, newest marketing strategies out there. If you guys got a way of marketing that is so out there and so unique, I want them to send it to us. I want to see what you guys can think of for marketing. Because there's a lot of the strategies we're talking about, they're old time. They've been around for a while. Wrapping your car, that's been around for a long time. There's probably some new stuff out there that we don't really know about yet. And I'm not saying you give us those ideas. I just want to see you guys apply the knowledge that we're teaching you and be able to do it. Because the marketing stuff, this is fun. To me, this is fun. The marketing.
To figure out how to get the phone to ring. You know, like, for instance, I haven't been able to find a girl yet to do it. But I always wanted to get a shirt made up, you know, with the finger point that says, "My boyfriend buys houses." I thought that would be cool or something, you know.
And if you guys could come up with a cool idea like that and I want to see and it works for you, I want you to send it to us because I want to see it.
I think that would be effective. I want to
shout you guys out almost or give you credit where it's due because you're applying some of this knowledge. Or let's say you're already a real estate investor. You just like listening to stuff about real estate and you have some cool ideas you've already done. Send it to us. Yeah. I want to see it because this stuff's real interesting to me.
Yeah, definitely. Fun. Like I'm saying, we're learning every day, and we're just putting out there stuff that you know we've done, I've done in the past. It works, you know. But I'm willing to take on all kinds of different information.
All right. Well, we're pounding these podcasts out right now in our life. We're about to do a quarter auction.
Yeah,
we got the eclipse coming up. That's why we got these.
We got the eclipse glasses there. Check them out. So October 8th.
You can't see nothing with these on. I'm going to be honest.
You can't see
anything. You can look at the sun, though.
But, yeah, listen, guys, we're having a totally free eclipse tailgate party here at Kim Tam Park. So come on out. You know, you can check it out. We're actually going to be selling these glasses. We don't need to buy them.
We got a solar eclipse thing coming up. We got a quarter auction. We got so much stuff coming up. And it's fun because we get breaks doing this stuff. And we're teaching you guys.
Oh, one cool thing with the solar eclipse. I don't know how many of you out there, you know, are into crystals, you know. But this kind of gave me the, you know, I had a lot of people saying, are you guys having that adult Easter egg hunt? But I have probably 500 crystals like this that I actually found out of my house.
Yeah.
So we're going to
That's another thing. Wait, that's another thing with finding deals. That's a completely different aspect. We find all kinds of weird stuff.
But we are going to have it our October 8th solar eclipse tailgate party. We are going to have a crystal hunt. So we're going to place these crystals, you know, in a certain area. And we're going to, you know, whatever you find, you get to keep. You know, I have no idea if they're worth anything or not. I see them for sale all the time, but we got some really big ones over there, small ones. But I mean, this is kind of a cool one. But
so. I know now we're kind of getting away from the big education part, but I think it's cool to check in. I mean, we pumped one out last week. We've done two today. We'll probably do more next week. And you guys probably are all watching this at different times. And it's just, we got a lot of stuff going on and we make time for this because we enjoy doing it and we want you guys to learn. And right now I think we're getting to the point where we could probably about wrap this up, but we've basically taught you the mindset now. You take that mindset. And now we kind of told you different marketing strategies, the confidence that you got to have to find the deal. So now you got the mindset and you got the leads coming in. What's the next step? what kind of deal are you doing? And we're going to get into that on these next upcoming episodes.
Yeah, there's a number of different
deals. There's a lot of different deals.
Definitely, we're probably, that's probably going to be 4 or 5 episodes, you know.
Because there's so many
I know just the fix and flip is going to be probably one episode. We got wholesaling. We got get the deed. We have wraparound mortgages. Yeah,
there's all kinds of
stuff. We got lease options. Yeah,
And it's just, we'll start going over it next, but you got the mindset, you got the leads, we'll go over all that, and I think we're about over, so.
That's it.
We'll see you guys next time on the JJ Boys Podcast.
Yeah. I'll see you. See you.